from Vision Australia Radio. It's time to open the cellar door and uncork a classic on Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Hello, I'm Michael Hintz, the velvety voice of Eno, with another Heard It Through the Grapevine. We're on Vision Australia Radio, of course, and coming to you nationally through the Community Radio Network. Great to be with you again. Ah, so many wines, so little time. And a tello from my producer, Tristan Hodson, looking $1 million. You've had a haircut, I see, Tristan. Today, in a slight departure from just wine, and there's no wine of the week this week either, it's my pleasure to introduce artist, writer, storyteller, printmaker, and soon-to-be author, Gail Devine. Now you're saying, who's Gail Devine and what's she got to do with wine? Well, just stay with me.
Lots.
Gail is currently writing a book on the design, art and contribution of her late husband, internationally recognised graphic designer Les Mason. Now, Les is to, he put graphic art in Australia on the map, really, especially in the 60s and 70s. Regarded as the father of Australian graphic design, Les Mason's work is currently featured in a major retrospective called, simply, Les Mason Solo, and we'll explain the solo bit in a minute. Now open at the new National Gallery of Victoria Design Studio, that's the Ian Potter Centre, and that's not at the gallery, that's at Fed Square, so don't go to the wrong place. It's that lovely place, Federation Square. Les Mason Solo is open daily from 10 till 5 until, I believe, some releases say February, but I think it's more into April next year, and entry is free. But that doesn't mean to say it's not of value. Now, it celebrates Les's extraordinary talent and significant contribution that he made, both as a practitioner and a bit of a provocateur to graphic design in Australia, and his indelible role in the emergence of Melbourne's graphic design culture. A prolific designer and critical thinker, he was instrumental in establishing the discipline of graphic design. A member of the Alliance Graphique Internationale, or AGI, Les Mason had a reputation for graphic design excellence with a prolific career spanning over 30 years. He won multiple national and international awards and was widely acclaimed for his work as art director of 77 issues of a magazine called The Epicurean over a 13-year period, where he established the title as the most prestigious food and wine magazine in Australia. Well, to be honest, there weren't many food and wine magazines back in those days, but with the advantage of hindsight, we call it the most prestigious. But it was, did a great job for wine and food. Drawing on a rich archive, much of his work has been reproduced for this retrospective, spanning a diverse array of projects including packaging, corporate identity, advertising, architectural graphics, and of course magazine design. Gail, I mean, I almost need a drink. What an introduction. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Now, where do we start? Les's work and colourful life span so many fields, as does yours, it's difficult not to know just where to start. He was the wings beneath your feet, but you were the wings beneath his. Tell me a little bit about yourself and how this extraordinary collaboration started.
Well, I was lucky enough to meet Les on a Friday the 13th, a Black Friday, when I was invited to go to the pub, The Rising Sun, and by my work colleagues. And prior to that, I'd never been out on a Friday night for a drink. Anyway, that night I met Les through a colleague that I worked for, and we sort of talked about everything under the sun. And anyway,
it's what you do with The Rising Sun, of course.
Yep. And then he called me up a few weeks later and said, do I want to catch up and go to the movies? And so we went to the movies and sort of took it from there. And he gave me this book called Art Pavera, which was by Hermano Salente, I think it's something like that. And it was sort of what they call poor art, pobre art. And I was so fascinated. I really protected the book. I wrapped it in glad wrap. And
really?
Because it was things I had never been exposed to. Mm-hmm. And from then on, I suppose Les and I sort of clicked. We had I always loved art, but I wasn't allowed to go to art school because my mother thought I'd get pregnant and be the ruination of the family. So I got into the next best thing, which was advertising.
Yes.
As a writer. And anyway, when I met Les, he opened my eyes to so much. And then we collaborated on things because he asked me to write some things for a freelance job. And and I would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and work like crazy and then have a shower at 7 o'clock and go to my normal job.
Right.
And and so it led to 39 and a half years of a wonderful life together.
Now, Les's work encompassed much more than Epicure, and he revolutionised packaging with the design, and this is where the Solo soft drink can comes in, isn't it? Hence the reference. But there are other things he did, including dozens of wine labels for top of the wine makers, corporate identity, annual reports, advertising campaigns, and architectural graphics. And not the least was the kinetic fencing while building, I think, Roy Grounds, the National Gallery, of course. He did that design on the fence around that. I've never heard a bad word said about him. Those who knew him loved him. He had a big heart for design, and he wanted everybody to care about it as much as he did. Is that so?
You've got it in one. He was a fantastic person. He was outrageous and laughed a lot, and he was provocative, but he was passionate about design, and he was passionate about art, passionate about lifting the level of society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons he came to Australia, because he was working on brochures for war devices and things like that, and he thought, there's got to be a better life than this. And
now, where was he from originally? California.
California, from Los Angeles. He was. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Fresno in California. At the age of 7, when his parents separated, he moved to L.A.
Yes.
And he started West Coast Designers there with some partners, and they were getting recognition before he came to Australia.
Right.
And he saw an ad at USP Benson, which is now DDB, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, worked for a year, and worked... And he said it was like a big country town, Melbourne. And in my book, I talk about how Les thought it was so wonderful that people in Melbourne, he said, you know, they took him out to Chadstone's shopping centre to show him. This is before, and there was a few little shops there, and they had biscuits on plates at board meetings and stuff that.
Yes, Fletcher Jones were out there, I think, at the time. Yeah,
yes, all those things. And and Les said he saw an opportunity to do good graphic design, and... So he opened his own shop a year after the contract was up, and he never looked back.
Was this in South Melbourne?
In South Melbourne, yes.
Mm.
And up until the 70s, I think, well, we left to go to Perth in 1981, but he closed his shop in about 1979.
Mm-hmm.
The people that worked for Les were what you call real craftspeople.
Yes.
They could draw, they could paint, they knew typography, they knew how much air to put between a line of space, between type. And all the work that is in this exhibition was all done by hand, no Photoshop, it was all, and that's a lot of skill that a lot of people today don't have. They sit in front of a computer and they design without probably... thinking about, oh no, that's not true. Of course they do, but there's an awareness now in AGI, Alliance Graphique Internationale, that the old skills must be regenerated.
Preserved and regenerated, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and now in the context of today's program for Grapevine, I'm sure our listeners would recognise Les's work, even though they may not have known him, because he's best remembered as art director of the then fledgling food and wine magazine Epicurean, where between 1966 and 79, his original zany, challenging and groundbreaking front covers from edition number 1 through to 77 helped put Epicurean on the map. And in turn, Epicurean was the first Australian magazine devoted entirely to food and wine. Under the guidance of its owner and founder, Alan Holdsworth, the publication played a significant role in shaping what we now recognise as the vibrant and coherent food and wine culture in Melbourne, because we do pride ourselves in being the culinary and gastronomic capital of Australia. And people like a few names here, and I'm sure you'll know some of them, Len Evans, Dan Murphy, Mieta O'Donnell, my dear friend Beverly Sutherland-Smith, Tony Bilson and Stephanie Alexander, Maggie Beer, Margaret Fulton, and on the Venus side, of course, James Halliday, and Ian Higginbotham, who I saw the other day, and I also ran into Herman Schneider the other day. Now, they're just a few names, just a few, who all found voice in the pages of the magazine. And, of course, Maggie Beer retains every issue in her collection and featured some, I think, way back on The Cook and the Chef. Now, the influence of Epicurean spread across both the design and food worlds, inspiring young chefs and designers in equal measure. Its place in the annals of Australian food and wine and in the industry and design is beyond dispute. And, of course, it was the collaboration between Alan Holdsworth and Les that really drove this, wasn't it? It was the chemistry that they had that created this, because you look at the front covers today and they're as fresh and challenging and humorous, and they've just got everything.
Colourful.
Aren't they?
Yes. Well, Les counts Alan Holdsworth as the best period in his life because he wanted...
Apart from meeting you.
Thank you. He walked into Les's office. He must have heard about Les, and he said, "Would you do this magazine? There's no money in it, and we only got enough money for the colour, for the cover." And Les had to fit the job between other paying jobs, and he'd get about $900 an issue, and that didn't even scratch the surface of what the work that went into it. But it was Les's passion for being able to use his knowledge of fine art that, you know, it was a challenge. It was something that he could do other than the restraints of a other design job. He could just let his imagination go wild.
Yep.
And he read so much about fine art, and we visited many art galleries all around the world all of our lives. And with that, he would, influences would end up on a cover or in... he was also a great drawer, which people don't know. He does beautiful pencil drawings, and they're in the black and white section in the middle of the magazine.
Yes, because it's far more than the front cover. He was the design, you know, he did the whole magazine, and of course you don't judge people by their front covers, nor do you judge magazines by them, because his work permeated the whole magazine, didn't it?
It did, and sometimes they had no rhyme or reason. Like there was one issue which I remember with a duck with a rope tied around its leg coming down some stairs. And he go, okay, why not? Why not have a piece of string around a duck's leg, you know?
Yep.
But he just did, and there's a piece in the exhibition of relating to travelling on a boat, and it's a drawing of a woman, rather large woman, in front of her is talking about holiday eating on a boat.
Yes.
And it's so apt. It's still really apt because the cruise market is huge now.
Yes, of course. Now, back in, I think, 2009, Warren Taylor mounted an exhibition of all the 77 of Les's Epicurean front covers at the Narrows Gallery. And this was accompanied by an excellent appreciation by graphic designer Dominic Hofsted. You've no doubt went to that and have got the catalogue. Gail, what especially interests me is the nature of the creative collaboration between soulmates, because they really were, the founding publisher and editor, Alan Holdsworth, and Les. It went far beyond the front covers, didn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. And when we were in Perth, Les, thank goodness he did, he decided to go through all the issues. We didn't have any issues, but...
Yeah.
I got borrowed some of his ex-wife, Pat Granger, to do a project for Canberra, celebrating the 100 best people of Australia who've made a contribution. Mm-hmm. So I used the black and white blow-ups to make Les's figure. And
yep.
And from that, Les took those magazines and he quietly went through them over about 3 months,
yep.
Selected what he liked. And then on a trip to Bali, it was a tribute to Alan Holdsworth. He put together yep. this book and he got a Balinese printer to do it for. He produced 20 copies, and it's so good to have that because it's what Les thought he were okay in terms of his
the best of the best.
Yes.
And gee, I'd love to see that book.
I nearly bought it along today, but then I thought,
don't think next time.
No, okay.
And your role in those days, because you're an artist and a writer in your own right. obviously there was a contribution from yourself.
Well, one of the great things is that when Les was designing, he sort of knew in his own head what worked and what didn't. Hmm. But this is, I'm sort of saying, and then when we went to Perth, I dropped everything. I decided I wanted to stop advertising. I wanted to go to art school. So I didn't think Les would let me go, but he was so encouraging, and he said, sure. I said, great. And anyway, then we would collaborate on fine art pieces. He said, what do you think of this? Do you think it's too designery? And he used to get me to do the handwriting because my handwriting is very designery.
Right.
We used to sit at the table at night and do little note tacks, you know, those sticky notes.
Oh, yes.
And we'd talk about what was happening in the world. Les was a great philosopher and a great thinker, and he was interested in everything under the sun, including finance, biographies,
right,
the war, the world, poverty, you know. And we would talk about what had happened in the news that day. And we'd do little drawings. And I have a book, all those.
The doodles, the drawings.
Yes.
Right.
We would answer each other with what our thoughts were on those things.
And, how marvellous.
And anyway, I started after he passed away, which was a huge, huge, huge loss. Somebody said to me, why don't you do a book on Les? And I thought, I couldn't do it. And then about 3 years ago, I started. And when I returned to Melbourne, it sort of galloped to a conclusion.
And what's the book called?
It's called Les Mason, Design, Art, Rule Breaker. And it's with a publisher at the moment. And
may I ask who the publisher is?
It's a good one. It's a good one. I don't want to say.
Oh, right.
It's happening at the moment.
Yes. And when's it due to be launched?
This time next year.
This time next year.
Yes.
Marvellous. And what have you found out? Because it's quite a discipline, writing a book, and you need a sense of, in a way, emotional detachment to get the best out of yourself. Otherwise, you might, be falling over yourself. And what have you learnt about yourself in the process of writing the book?
I've become a lot more confident than I was, because I don't know whether I really am, because changes daily, but you do have to be disciplined. And I would I finished the book by again getting up early in the morning.
Yes.
When everybody's asleep, I like.
You're a morning person.
I'm
yes.
a morning yep. person,
yep.
And I write until then. I need my walk about 8 o'clock to clear my brain again to do the other things, and I would let things sit for a while, as I do with writing, and then I would let it sit before I'd look at it. And in between that, I'd go and do art. I couldn't do anything, though, for virtually three. Les has been gone 6 years, and it took me 3 years virtually just staring at the wall under the bed. But then I started, and now the exhibition's happened, which I'm so thrilled because Les deserves it.
Yes.
And the book will be a background to the man that a lot of people don't know about. Everyone thought Les was wild and just, a loud American and all that sort of stuff. But he was so much more, as Gary Emery knows. Gary Emery really knows Les as truly Les is. And he said some wonderful things, and he's written a wonderful chapter for the book. And he knows Les just like I know Les in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's interesting, because I remember when I think he first met Alan Holdsworth, and Alan walked into the door of Les's studio, and to quote Les, Alan was going to start a small wine and food magazine, and of course with no money. And yet I was thrilled, because it's rare in a designer's life to feel as though he is making some sort of contribution to society and his own life. So obviously the two hit it off, and some contribution, some life. That's being celebrated now and will be celebrated in the future with the launch of the book, no doubt, and give you great satisfaction. Carl, many people know about Les, but if you Google Alan Holdsworth, he seems a mite more enigmatic, elusive, a bit of a figure. It's almost as if he's been airbrushed out of the story. What was he like?
He was a very quiet man. He didn't say a lot. He looked like an accountant, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty straight looking, suit, tie, He'd blend into the background sort of person. But he must, and I don't know much about his family life, and you're dead right to say that about, you know, there's nothing known about Alan Holdsworth. No. And yet he, well, he must have, I think he had a big connection with all those food people and wine people that you talked about before, because it is reflects in the magazine and through all the issues and the articles and stuff. And but again, there's not, and I don't know, we wanted to send a book to his wife, his widow, when Les did that little book about him. But there was no way we knew where he was. And
That's interesting. Yeah.
Maybe someone would.
Was it, and yet because he had the smarts to recognise Les's talent. He was an enabler, that's hard to say. Yeah, that's very interesting indeed. And, of course, Epicurean then went, I think, was who did the design after 79? I think it was Ken Cato who did some work and carried on in the tradition, sort of. But it's really the significance of Epicurean and Les's work touches so many areas in life. I mean, I'm familiar with the wine and food, and of course, wine and food bring joy to people's lives. And back in those days, and to put things in context, the old wine and food scene was a bit stuffy. You know, there was the Viticultural Society, if you get to Guernsey. Sorry, guys. I mean, and there was the, and I know the Epicurean for many years was the official magazine for the Wine and Food Society of Australia. But organisations like that did a lot to foster, as did immigration and the culture of wine and food. And Epicurean played an important part about that because it just had so many interesting contributors. I mean, you'd like to think those that contributed to it matched the quality of Les's art. And I think it did because people looked at the cover and then... There's no good having a zany cover unless you want to look inside and read inside. So it covered so many, affected so many lives, didn't it, for a tiny little publication?
And whatever happened to Rada Penfold Russell? I remember her being around in those days as being radical.
A whole lot of people, in those days. Now, you contrast what went on back in Les's day and when you were working, and then you look at the gastronomic, culinary and Venus cyberspace of today, the social media, the celebrity chefs, reality TV, cooking shows and the like. What do you make of it all? It must be a bit of a...
Well, it's a bit of... it's just too much. And the thing is, what must be remembered, in the 70s and probably the early 80s, a lot of people couldn't cook more than a roast and three vegetables.
Well, nothing's changed.
I think they've got a lot better.
Some people can cook, but do you know where the Victorian taxpayer is partly subsidising Jamie Oliver's mission or school of something? There's a bus or whatever, a specially designed kitchen that goes around mobile kitchen teaching people how to cook?
Well, I think they're trying to do the right thing and bringing people's awareness of fresh vegetables, fresh and not packaged food.
Oh, well, Stephanie Alexander, of course, has done a marvellous job
gardening.
With her school's gardening, kitchen garden program.
Fantastic. But in the book Plenty by Gay Bilson, she talks about Les's work for Epicurean, and she also talks about how in those days it was a stuffy club, the wine and food, blah, blah.
Yes.
And how all that's changed, and perhaps it will not. And talking about, we used to have lots of dinner parties. Les was a great cook, a messy cook.
Yep.
But he cooked like he created art. He was an artist in every sense of the word. And we never used to get invited back and I found that sad because people were intimidated by food. And I think that's still true today of somebody that turns on a fabulous dinner. Do they invite you back or not?
And now there's a Les Mason Gale Divine Graphic Design Travel Award as part of RMIT, isn't there too?
I wanted Les's name to stay out there and, you know, and somebody again in Perth said to me, you know, you should, and do it while you're alive, they said, because so you can enjoy to meet the people who could go on to do great things. And so I've set that up with RMIT, and hopefully it'll be ongoing, and that it'll produce some good level people who will learn through travel and wanting to study the best overseas.
Now, Les helped, of course, he helped a lot of graphic designers in turn. It was like a who's who. Who worked it with Les, who went on to have good careers in graphic design? It's a bit like Epicurean fostered the chefs and the cooks and the wine writers. There would have been a lot of people who worked with Les who went on to have careers of their own and made names for themselves.
Yes, they went on. There was David Hornblower, who went to Canada, and there was Stephen Bohaz. There was Belinda Haybold. She went into advertising.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole... And Bill Kwan, he went to Ken Cato's after Les,
because
I think Ken offered him more money than Les was paying, which, anyway, that's another story.
Mm.
But Bill Kwan was... He was a terrific. Les got people to work for him that worked in a printers, not the top things out of art students out of art school, but people that he could see that knew about deadlines. He said it was important to have, and he elevated their taste level in teaching them stuff. And so Les said he wanted them to go on and do in their own business what he'd taught them and an open shop in terms of how much he charged. They all knew that, all that sort of thing. And he was open about design. He wasn't a closed shop. And they had some music pumping out of the ceiling, you know.
Marvellous. Well, we've got to pump something out of the ceiling because we're almost out of time. But what I liked about Les's work is a sense of energy and a sense of irreverence and a sense of fun and a sense of life, because life was pretty staid back in those days. So he got to Melbourne just in time. Gail,
before it fossilised.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the football club there. No, we're not. ODs. Well, Gail, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you for your time. And all the very best for the launch of the book. I'm sure that there'll be some people who can't wait to get their hands on that. That's been your lot for today. My research material was drawn from my home library, the Australian, the National Gallery of Victoria, and the Age, a.k.a. the Daily Dismal. This has been another Heard It Through the Grapevine on Vision Australia Radio, heard on all stations around Australia. Pardon the pun, via the Community Radio Network. It's cheers from me, Michael Hintz, and please drink moderately.
Heard It Through the Grapevine is a production of Vision Australia Radio. Sound information.